Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, and also a modern worship service, the Sunday Morning Oasis, at 9:15 in the Crossroads Gymnasium. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15 and a Sunday school class for adults in a high school small group at 8 a.m. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
And if you have a Bible, please open it to the book of Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Hello, Hudson. Aw. Hudson, how are you doing? We got the crew here. All right. Oh, Elmer and Ethel got married, and their first year of marriage, Ethel had a hair appointment, and Elmer took and dropped her off at the beauty shop, and then got tied up in a basketball game watching one on TV and forgot to pick her up. And wouldn't you know, it started to rain. And so he finally figured it out after some time, got there. She was kind of soaking wet, and her beauty shop appointment just was all wasted. So he said he was sorry. They fought, they argued, and they finally reconciled. The problem was that every time for the next 10 years that they would argue, that Ethel would bring this up and she would tell him. So after 10 years of this, Elmer finally had enough. And Elmer said, "Look, darling, sweetheart, love of my life, I need to ask you a question. I thought forgive and forget was your policy. Isn't that your philosophy?" And she just kind of took a breath and said, "Yes, it is. I just want you to remember what I forgave and what I forgot." With that in our mind, this is actually kind of a good setup for where we're going to be in Scripture today. We have been methodically, slowly going through the Lord's Prayer. The disciples came to Jesus. They asked him, "Hey, teach us to pray." And Jesus said, "Then pray then like this." In other words, in this manner. And so each week we've kind of taken a phrase, and if you're new with us, I invite you, if you'd like to kind of catch up, to go to the church website, not right now, but you can go to the church website and kind of catch up with us on all the various phrases. Last week, who remembers what we said last week without looking at the screen? Daily bread. Thank you. Give us this day our daily bread. And now this week, and if you read ahead, I imagine some of you decided maybe you didn't want to come to church today, because we're going to teach one of our favorite topics, forgiveness. And forgive. In fact, let's read this part here in yellow. Let's all read it together, shall we? Ready? "And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors." May I remind you something I shared last week, that Martin Luther talked about the Lord's Prayer and made the analogy that it needs to be similar to a flint and a steel that ignites a prayer. It's not, he didn't give us words to say, it's to just repeat. He gave us a model. He gave us a pattern that then we should use to guide ourselves. And so as we've been going through here, normally I have 3 points. Today I have 5 points for you. Now, that's not how the other two services acted. I got moans and groans, and I got, well, our Sunday lunch. I will try to be brief with you. And I've decided, Becky, and that heater does a good job. It's about to toast my tootsies here. You know, I was like, my feet are going to get there. But we could start a brisket and then just have it turn there. So that's good. My first point today is we're talking about forgiveness. As Jesus begins to teach us to pray, important things. First point, and I'm just kind of lay these out so as we can go. I'm kind of make them in a phrase. The confession of forgiveness. So as Jesus is teaching his disciples, as he's teaching us to pray, the first part of this, when we get to this area, is that we need to confess our sins. We need to ask for forgiveness. When we come before the Lord, we should be mindful of our need for forgiveness. Now, may I point out that the prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 6, as he came into the presence of God, he made this statement, "Woe am I am undone." And sadly, I think some of us, when we come to the presence of God, we focus on what we need God to do or what we would like. We're quick to bring our shopping list, you know, hey, I'm sick, I need you to deal with this, I need you to deal with that. But we're kind of slow to acknowledge that when we come before the Lord, that we ought to be mindful of who we are. Let me kind of put it like this. I used to think that I was a really, really good singer. I was a big fish in a small pond. And I remember thinking as I'd go through things, I was like, wow, you know, I'm something pretty special. And I remember going to my first big audition with people from multiple states and people around. And I remember getting in there and I was early on the list and I got up there and I didn't listen to anybody else. And I just thought that I got done and I was just showed them a thing or two, as this generation would say, mic drop. And as I got done with that, then about two other people got up and did the same song that I did, and they really did it. And it was amazing. And I sat there just totally humbled. I wasn't worthy to do anything, to carry their mic stands, right? This is tremendous. These big, wonderful operatic voices, like, whoa, and stuff. And so where did that come from? And I got a real good dose of reality that was good for a cocky young kid. Have you ever had that experience? Because I feel like I'm the only person here. Everybody think that you're all that until you see something that's really all that, and then you're like, Well, you know, as we come into the presence of God, understanding our measuring stick is not one another. Our measuring stick is God. Our measuring stick is Jesus. That's the standard of which we are coming to. That's the standard of excellence. And so, you know, bottom line is this. When we come before the Lord, if you can't think of anything that you need to ask forgiveness for, if you can't think of an imperfection, maybe you should start with pride. That might be a good place to begin. Because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And before you say, well, I haven't done anything wrong, may I remind you that when people went to Jesus asking about eternal life, that Jesus often didn't focus on the wrong, but he focused on, well, have you done this? So there are sins of commission, but there are also sins of omission. And may I also maybe begin to expound this, that when people begin to talk to Jesus about righteousness, Jesus would say things like this: if you have thought it in your mind, you have done it. Or as we like to say in Pike County, if you thunk it, you done it, right? Now let me ask again, should we maybe have some, do we have some things that we should perhaps be asking forgiveness for? And the answer is yes, by all means, all of us, all the time. We really need to. In fact, John, as that young lady read this morning, as Ellie read in 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. This is the message that we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. That's good news, guys. He said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yay! Isn't that great? We come, we confess, and he's faithful to forgive. I think that's great news. Let's read verse 10 together. That together means all of us. So let's try it again, okay, right? If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Ow. We all have some things. We all have some things inside of us. We all have thoughts that are constantly being redeemed. And so if we come to God, it's important, brothers and sisters, that we begin to remember that we're not perfect, but we're always being perfected. Again, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I really want God on my side. Anybody else? Because if God's on our side, who do we need to fear? And so when I'm prideful, God opposes me. Now, I'm not talking about the being conscientious to try to do your best type of pride, as in taking pride in your work. I'm talking about the arrogant pride that says that I don't need, or that somehow I please God all on my own. As it said, as scripture says, our righteousness is as filthy rags to the Lord. So for us to come before Him, there has to begin with forgiveness, that we repent, that we ask Him to forgive. Now, many of us, we think that, I've got this little thing in my life and it doesn't affect anybody else. And by the way, God hasn't convicted me on it yet. God hasn't been exposed out and been on the front page news. So it's not that big a deal. And by the way, since I've gotten away with it for a week or for a month or for 2 years or for half of my life, it's not that big a deal. Here's the deal. It is, in fact, and maybe God is giving us a season of grace for us to come around, for us to understand. So we have to begin allowing God to search us. And now, forgiveness, some people don't spend a lot of time with forgiveness and repentance because they don't think it's, they treat it like someone who gives you a free gift. You've heard a business model. Well, I got to charge for something because if I don't charge for it, then people won't think it's worth anything. I want you to know this. There's a fallacy about forgiveness. Everybody says, well, forgiveness is free. No, it's not. Forgiveness is free to you, but it cost God His only begotten Son. Forgiveness is incredibly costly. It's incredibly costly, but it's offered free to us. So confession, we need to begin with confession. So if we ask for forgiveness, He forgives, right? Right? Okay, good, 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 good. That's important. End of story, right? Wrong. That's the first part. In the Lord's Prayer, He says, and forgive us. So we need to ask. We have this confession of forgiveness, but then we have the command of forgiveness. Point number two. As we also have forgiven our debtors. So we're instructed by God not only to ask for God's forgiveness, but we are commanded to forgive as well. And this is a piece of cake, isn't it? If I was going to a college and they had a major in giving forgiveness, I don't believe there'd be many people sign up for that school. That's not something that we like. And perhaps maybe the best way for us to understand it is the meaning of the word forgive. This Greek word is an interesting meaning. How many of you watched The Princess Bride? Any Princess Bride people in the room? I love that movie. I love that movie because there's that guy who always says, inconceivable, inconceivable. And then Inigo Montoya always comes up and says, you keep using that word. I do not think it means what you think it means. And I love that little connection there. He's like, you keep saying this. It does not mean what you think it is. Obviously conceivable because it's happening. Well, for us, sometimes we say forgiveness and we keep using this word, but I don't think we really know what it means. And so for us to understand what this word forgiveness means, as Jesus said, and forgive us, this word has got these connotations of to send off, to release, to hurl. I'm not talking about throwing up. He's talking about his older. I know, in church, why did he just say that? He says to do this, and I had somebody, who's our good? It's to literally do this, to throw. I was throwing that back at Keith. Oh, and she caught it good. Okay. It's like that. It's to throw that. It's to throw something, to hurl something, to release from legal retaliation, as in letting a debt go, writing off a debt, or to grant pardon. It doesn't have anything to do with the person, the other person. It has to do with you. You know, we want to receive forgiveness, but to be honest, most of us struggle with forgiveness, but forgiveness is a command, okay? We have to forgive. I have to forgive. Now, here's the problem. I don't want to forgive. If I want to be honest, I don't. Because somehow, if I am commanded to forgive, if God's saying, hey, you have to forgive, that means that it didn't really matter what was done to me, or it seems to devalue my pain, or devalue my hurt. Or as if to say, it's okay to treat me poorly. That's not what forgiveness is, guys. It's not punitive. We feel like we're being punished to have to forgive somebody who did something to us. Well, the command to forgive, we have to go beyond. It's not punitive, but it is rather pardoning. And the person who's being pardoned is us. Let's go on. The command to forgive is not to hurt you, but actually to help to heal you. And we're going to, this brings me to point number three. The conflict of forgiveness. You see, a lot of us, we function as if that we can forgive people when they earn it. But until they earn it, we don't forgive. Well, let me ask just this question. Have you ever asked the Lord to forgive you something and He forgave you and then you did it again? Hey. Yeah, that was me exactly. The truth is, so is the forgiveness that God deals with us, does He say, all right, here's the deal. I will forgive you once you earn it. No, that's not grace. In fact, that's legalism. That is legalism. And there are scores of the Bible, of verses in the Bible that address that very thought. The thought that somehow we have to earn our forgiveness. No, God doesn't. It is paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so there's this conflict inside of us that we're called to forgive, but we only want to forgive those who ask, or we only want to forgive people who are really sorry. Why would I forgive somebody who never asked or never repented and never said no? Why would I forgive them? Because God commands you to. Well, I don't like where this sermon is going. Well, you're not going to like these next couple of scriptures either then. And it's hard. Let me break it down like this, though. Because perhaps what we're struggling with is the difference not of forgiveness, but of restoration. You see, forgiveness is a command. Restoration is a process. When we're talking with our brothers and sisters. So, those of you who are on the internet very much, there you may have remember from last November, the murder of Amanda Blackburn, who was a pastor's wife. There was a story here on the website called the Gospel Herald that did an interview between this young pastor and his wife. And his wife was pregnant, and he dropped her off at home, and three young men broke into his house and brutally murdered his wife. The following interview was taken just a couple weeks ago. It said that the pregnant woman who died after being shot in the head at her home by intruders last November, the pastor, her husband, has said that he has forgiven his wife's killers and hopes someday to share the gospel with them. Speaking out for the first time since his wife's death in an interview with his former pastor, Perry Noble, Davy Blackburn said that following Amanda's brutal murder, he realized that forgiveness isn't an emotion. I wasn't ever going to feel like forgiving them, Amanda's killers. Just point blank, you're never going to feel like forgiving someone for doing something to you that's irreparable. What I recognized is that forgiveness is a decision. It's not just a one-time decision, it's a daily decision. Every day I have to wake up and I have to decide to forgive. And here's why I decided to forgive. It's because bitterness and unforgiveness is only going to be a cancer that eats no one else except me. And it's going to eat me up inside if I hang on to it. You see, forgiveness is not a feeling. It is not an emotion. We don't feel like forgiving. But we are called to forgive, and forgiveness is actually something beautiful because you rarely feel like forgiving someone when you are hurt. You see, before we're going to forgive, we want somebody to prove that they've earned it. We want them to be sorry for what they have done. I've counseled with individuals who have had this happen, where they have had a conflict with an individual who has died. And they never got to process forgiveness with this individual. They never got to deal it. And so they're carrying around this thing and they say things like, now I can't forgive them. It's too late because the person who offended me is dead. Forgiveness isn't about you and the person. It's about you and God. And yes, you can be free. Yes, you can let it go. I was speaking with a dear sister, a part of our church family, after second service. And she came up to me and said, you know what, I realized something. I had a huge issue with my father. And she wanted to say that they had an abusive type of relationship and that she never felt like forgiving him, but yet she chose to forgive. And when she chose to forgive, it was like a weight was lifted off her. And she never felt like it. She just chose. And said, now the restoration took a lot longer. Restoration and forgiveness are two different things. You see, people who are in abusive relationships, they are abused by their abuser. And some people say, well, if I forgive them means I have to continue being abused. That's not what it means. That's not forgiveness. Restoration happens when there's change and when there's repartitions for damages done. That has to deal with the taking of responsibility. Restoration and forgiveness. So forgiveness is not a feeling. We rarely feel like forgiving when we're hurt. I really understand that. We want someone to be sorry before we forgive them, but we don't make people earn forgiveness. That is a restoration. That's a totally different thing, brothers and sisters. And what you need to understand is forgiveness is not about the offender. Forgiveness is not about the perpetrator. Forgiveness is not about the person who did you wrong. Forgiveness is about you. Why would you want whoever did something wrong or inappropriate to continue to define your life? What forgiveness is the ability for someone who has wronged you to not define your life, for something greater, which is God, to define your life through grace and through healing. That's the beauty of forgiveness. Which brings me to the next one, the condition of forgiveness. You see, it's very interesting here. If we look at Matthew chapter 18, the apostle Peter comes up to Jesus. And I love Peter because he always sits there and he just comes out to things. He says, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? And then he says this, as many as seven times. And we can kind of read into this. So, okay. So I tell him, don't do this. He does it. I tell him, don't do this. He does it. I tell him, don't do this. He does it. Tell him, I don't do this. He does it. Tell him, I don't do this. Tell him, I don't do this. Tell him, I don't do this. But the eighth time, I can beat him up. It's almost like you get to six. You're like, please, one more. One more. Come on. Come on. Just, please, one more time. Say it. Say it. Say it. Yeah! And go spider monkey on him. That's kind of how he is. All right? So we see this, hurling spider monkey. Boy, I'm making a top 10 list here today. All right, so we see that's not what he says. And Jesus then makes a very interesting comment. He says, okay, Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times. Like, look, the eighth time, you can't jump on him. And then he says, but 70 times seven. So you think he's thinking 490. Ooh, it's on. Or 491. Is my math correct here? Seven times seven. Understand what Jesus is presenting to us and what he's teaching us in this parable. He's saying, look, as much as you have this unredeemed thing and that seeks vengeance, you need to replace that with trying to sow grace. It's not just a number. It's saying, look, you're not going to be able to exhaust this. You have to continue to forgive. Again, please, anyone who's dealing with some form of abuse, I'm not saying that you continue to be abused or a doormat. I'm saying you don't have to be identified by somebody's wrongdoing to you. That no longer has to be the definitive part of your life. You can get healing and you can let that part go. And that's great news. Going on. Jesus then, after he says this, he then tells a parable. Therefore, anytime you see therefore in scripture, see what it's there for. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who settled accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, it was brought to him one who owed 10,000 talents. In our American 2016 dollars, we're talking billions of dollars. This is an unpayable debt. All right? He says, and since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and his children that he had and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees imploring him, have patience with me and I'll pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. Praise God. Isn't that great? End of story, right? And here's what it's supposed to change. You. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a few hundred denarii. Not much money at all. And he seized him and began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. So his fellow servants fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will repay you. And he refused, and he went out and put him in prison that he should pay the debt. And when his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. So his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should you not have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had mercy on you? And in his anger, the master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all of his debts. Now, a lot of us read this. 35. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. How in the world can I do that? With man, it's impossible. With God, all things are impossible. You see, what I've learned about forgiveness a long time ago is this. Forgiveness is far beyond my ability and strength, but everything that God really calls me to do that I'm going to do is worth it is beyond my ability and strength. We don't want to sit there and hold on to what other people, to what other people have done. We want to be freed from that. And so it brings me to my final point today. Somebody say amen. Thank you for not. The continuation of forgiveness. Now, if we want to break down where in the Lord's Prayer, there's not random words that are used. Last week, we talked about, give us this day our daily bread. The next word is, and. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts. Forgive us our sins. So here's what I'm trying to tell you today. The and is important because it's tied into something. Do you need bread each and every day? Well, yes. Obviously, you can go a day, but guess what? You go a day, you start becoming weak. You go a couple of days, you start getting really weak, and eventually you're going to die. And I'd like to tell you today, if you don't think you need forgiveness each and every day, we got to slap you. You need to wake up. Yes, you do. You need forgiveness each and every day. And you need to forgive each and every day. This is a choice. Some people have a wrong concept of God. They say this. They say that when we go to God and we ask for forgiveness, that He forgets everything that we did. That's not true. God doesn't forget anything. God chooses to not remember. There's a difference. You see, if God could forget something, that means He's fallible. Maybe He's forgotten that He loves me. Maybe He's forgotten that He has a plan. Maybe He's going to change today. Well, He's the same yesterday, today, forever. And in fact, He lives outside of time. And He's not bound within a temporal linear existence. He chooses to not remember. And we can be like God and choose to get past. I'm not talking about repressing a memory. I'm not talking about saying, oh, and living in denial. I'm talking about processing your hurt so that you can come to healing. And what I had done is said, oh, I forgive this person 5 years ago, and then I went on, and then I continued to remember, and when I remembered, I stewed, and when I stewed, I spoke, and when I stoked, I rehearsed, and next thing you know, I kept talking and talking and talking about this person and what they did, and it drew me right back into it. Anybody else go through the same thing? Because I know y'all did. It's in us, brothers and sisters. And the beautiful thing is, just like you need daily bread, just like you need, we need to say the phrase together. And give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven. You see, that's a beautiful thing. It's a daily choice to forgive. And therefore, it's also a daily choice to receive our forgiveness as well. And sometimes it means like this phrase, choose to remember that you forgave. So that's the discipline part, that it comes up. It comes up. So you know what? Okay, that's my mind talking, and my mind says it, but I'm going to remind my mind that I'm choosing to walk in faith, and I'm choosing to walk in obedience to what God has, and that thing no longer has a hold of me. God has something better. Well, what does that mean? God wants you to be free from dragging the ledger around. It means you're going to have to discipline your mind. It means you're going to have to allow yourself to be healed and remember that you have hurled that away. You have hurled it away.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, and also a modern worship service, the Sunday Morning Oasis, at 9:15 in the Crossroads Gymnasium. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15 and a Sunday school class for adults in a high school small group at 8 a.m. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.